Vishnupadaya Krishnam Sai Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gorman Jani Namaste Srinivadi Pashacha Deja Tarani Somaganatimananda Shavadan Shavadaya Chakshur of Medinam Yena Dasmai Shigurve Namaha. I'll just read the translation to this poem by Narottama Das Thakur. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality? As Srinivasacharya God, where my Guru Damodar, Rupa Goswami, where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where my Raghunath Bhattan, Gopal Bhattan, where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga the great dancer suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps his picture on Lord Gauranga. Here's our songbook. See? Our Lord Gauranga songbook. You're all invited to come. All right, so today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur. A little bit of information about his ontological position, that is, who he is. He's a member of the Panchatattva. Everybody knows what the Panchatattva is? No? Okay. Panchatattva is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaitachari Gadadhar, and Srivas, five personalities. And Lord Chaitanya is God, but in the mood of Radharani. And Lord Nityananda is Balaram, same as Balaram. He's the original spiritual master. Dvaitacharya is Mahavishnu, the incarnation of the Lord. Gadadhar is Radharani. Everybody understands that. And then finally we have Srivas, who represents the Jiva soul of the Panchatattva, and he is an incarnation of Narada Muni. Okay. Just so you know who he is. And here's the story. It's actually interesting, too. I thought about this, that Narada Muni is usually portrayed as a nice, sticky, what? Brahmachari. Right. That means never got married. But in the case of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he's married. Anyway, whatever. So, here's the some details about Srivas Thakur. He was quite much older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, his wife, Malini, used to take care of Satchimata when Satchimata was pregnant with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, in the early days of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya did not exactly act like a devotee. He acted like a very sophisticated, puffed-up scholar. And so the devotees would oftentimes try to preach to him, but they were unable to make any change in his external behavior or his manifestation. And Srivas Thakur one time asked Lord Chaitanya, before Lord Chaitanya took initiation, he said, "O crest jewel of arrogance, do you know the purpose of life?" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "By your mercy, I will soon know it. And by your mercy, I will become such a great devotee that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma will offer their obeisances to me." Now he thought, boy, this guy's really puffed up. So after initiation, after Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwarapuri and Gaya, then he showed Srivas Thakur his form with four arms, and he said, "Srivas Thakur, you are the person who I'm the person you've been worshipping all these years." And he sat on Srivas Thakur's altar. Can you imagine that? You know, someone who was like challenging you before, opposed to devotional service, defeating you in arguments. One day he comes in and he sits on your altar. And then he shows four arms. So when Srivas Thakur saw this, so that Lord Chaitanya was manifesting four arms as Lord Vishnu, he offered this very, very nice prayer, which I'm going to read. "My obeisances at the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishwambara, who whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud, that's Krishna, of course, and whose garments are the color of the thunderbolt, that's yellow. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments of peacock feathers and a garland of red leaves, that's Gunjamala. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the pupil of Gangadas, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisance is at your lotus feet, you who carry a buffalo horn, stick, and flute. The four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. Today, this is all from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Today, my birth, my activities, my everything have become successful. Today, my very existence has been crowned with the greatest auspiciousness. Today, my forefathers, the race of my forefathers, has finally borne fruit, and my house, which is also their house, has become blessed. Today, the great fortune of my eyes is completely beyond calculation, because I have been able to see that person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. And so here's some stories about Shivas Thakur. First of all, the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was named Narayani, used to live and be taken care of in the house of Shivas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave her so much mercy when she was 4 years old. He said to her one time, chant Hare Krishna. She began to chant Hare Krishna and roll on the ground in ecstasy. Another pastime is Shivas Thakur had a maidservant whose name was Duki, which means unhappy. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with her, he gave her the name Suki, which means happiness. So anyone who was associated with Shivas Thakur got special mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, except for one person, which I'm going to mention in a second. This is an amazing story. So also, Shivas Thakur had a tailor, that means someone who sews clothes, who was basically a meat eater. But Lord Chaitanya gave him pure devotional service because he was serving Shrivas Thakur. So many times we look at and we see things, you know, very ritualistically, whether, of course, don't eat meat. Please, don't do that. But we, you know, we look at all these different mudras and mantras and whatever, things like that. You know, mudras. And we make life so complicated. Oh, life becomes so complicated. It becomes so complicated to chant Hare Krishna and walk into the temple. And if your hairstyle is not in the right way, they'll say, oh, you're going to hell. Right? Because your hair's not right. Your T-lock's a little crooked. I don't know if my T-lock's crooked. But anyway, so... you're the wrong type of neck beads on. There's a little jewel in your neck beads. Any jewels in your neck beads. Or you're wearing different colored socks. No, that's part of Krishna consciousness. That's one of the rituals. But really, Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyami Ome Bhakti Prayachati. One has to offer to him with what? Love and devotion. And then you have that story of that devotee who was offering to Krishna banana peels. He was peeling the banana. He was in such ecstasy, right? And what did he do? He just offered the banana peel by accident, you know, and Krishna accepted. And then you have even Sanatana Goswami, who is worshipping Madan Mohan, who was called Madan Gopal at that particular time. And he just hung him from a tree and was offering him just some dried bread balls that were cooked in the sun. And then when the deity complained, he just talked back to Krishna. Krishna complained, what, no salt? Sanatana Goswami said, I'm busy. I have all this service to do for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now you're asking for salt. Pretty soon you're going to be asking for butter and everything else. So just eat what I'm giving you. So you find so many stories like that. And was that sort of Bhamsi Das Babaji, he would just offer to his deity just by holding it in the hand or something like that. So if the love is the main thing, I'm not saying we should throw out all rules and regulations, but if the rules and regulations become so complicated that we forget the purpose of life, then at that point, those rules and regulations, niyam agraha, are actually impediments in our devotional service. You know, if we're just concentrated on all these externals. I mean, of course, we do have certain externals, like no meat, fish, eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. I'm saying those real quickly because I'm practicing for tonight. Usually when I give an initiation lecture and there's a lot of people who are not just coming to the temple for the first time, I go over the four regulative principles so quick they can't even understand what I'm saying. So they don't feel threatened. The main thing is let them take some prasadam and be happy, and eventually they'll be a prasadam. All right, so basically the tailor, who was a meat eater, got pure Krishna consciousness, but there was someone else who didn't. And that was Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law. Because Lord Chaitanya would have his nocturnal nightly kirtans in Srivas Thakur's house, which is called Srivas Angam, which is very, very close to the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, the yoga pit. And so one night, there was this kirtan going on. Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And he said, there's no ecstasy. There must be someone here who does not have the right consciousness. And they looked around, and behind the curtain, they found Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law. They chucked her out. Sorry. That's not against ladies, because Srivas Thakur's wife was there, Srivas Thakur's, Lord Chaitanya's mother was there. I mean, there's so many ladies there. But she just didn't have the right consciousness. I guess later on she learned her lesson. And then there was the other story where Srivas Thakur let a guy in who was a Brahmin, and he was just so proud that he was just living on drinking milk. And Srivas Thakur thought, boy, he's really pure. So they let him in, and Lord Chaitanya had the same response. And then he apologized, and then Lord Chaitanya let him stay. There's many, many different pastime stories that occurred during the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another famous story that occurred at Srivas Thakur's Angan, Srivas Angan, was that once upon a time, during the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur's son passed away. He had just died in the middle of the kirtan. And Srivas Thakur noticed that his wife was starting to get a little teary. You know, you look at people's eyes sometimes and there's like water coming from them. Those are tears. Whenever I speak to devotees, I always have to have some tissues next to me. Is that it? Sorry, especially the lady. Men sometimes do. Gotta be careful with it. Who's here in class? Anyway, so tears were coming from her eyes. Srivas Thakur said, what's the problem? She said, your son died. And then he said, we don't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. If you cry and disturb the kirtan, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I guess he was a pretty heavy guy, you know. And so she dried up her eyes. I mean, it's interesting. It's like the story in the Ramayana when Lakshman was accompanying Lord Ramchandra to the forest with Sita Devi. He said to his wife, his wife's name was Urmila. He said to his wife, you're not allowed to cry for the whole time we're gone. That's hard, isn't it? Not crying? No, for Adi Purush, it's easy. He doesn't even know what it is. He's got these artificial tears. Put in his eyes. But anyway. So Srivas Thakur said to his wife, "Don't cry." And then so Lord Chaitanya ended the kirtan. And then what happened was that Lord Chaitanya said, something happened. And Srivas Thakur said, nothing really substantial. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Tell me." And then Srivas Thakur basically said, "You know, my son passed away." And Lord Chaitanya said, "You know, let's go to where he is, near where the body was." And then he touched the heart of the son. The son got up. And he said, basically several different things, you know. "I've gone through many, many births, and now I've died during Lord Chaitanya's kirtan." So he went back to home, back to Godhead. Amazing story. And then from that point forward, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda became the sons of Srivas Thakur. And it was so unusual in the way they became the sons, especially Lord Nityananda, the way he became the son of Srivas Thakur, that he would actually sit on Nalini, that's Srivas Thakur's wife, on her lap. And remember, he's a grown, Lord Nityananda's not a little baby like that. Grown man, you know, and he would drink her breast milk too. You know, tall, he was like 7 feet, you know, 2.5 meters, you know, something like that, 2 meters. 2 meters tall. I mean, just like, what's happening here? You know, it's very unusual. So he actually became, and Lord Chaitanya became the sons of Srivas Thakur and Nalini. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srivas Thakur, "How do you maintain your household? I don't see you working." And Srivas Thakur said, "I have this 1-2-3 technique." He said, "What?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If I have to fast for 3 days, I will take a water pot, tie it to me, and drown myself in the Ganges." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Even if the goddess of fortune has to go begging, you will never be without sufficient means." Some more stories about Srivas Thakur. Another story is, oh yeah, people got really envious, this particular individual. Gopal Chapala got very envious of Srivas Thakur because he wasn't allowed into the kirtan because they had, what you call in a bar, a bouncer? You know a bouncer is? They had a devotee, at the door who wouldn't permit someone to come in to Srivas Thakur's kirtan unless they were pure devotees. I don't know what sort of test they had. But somehow or other they were able to ascertain whether or not someone was a pure devotee. And so this Gopal Chapala was not allowed in. So he thought, "Let me cause some trouble for Srivas Thakur." You know, he was very envious. And he thought the way that I'll cause trouble is that I will frame him. It's called framing someone. Framing someone makes it means that you're going to make it seem that they committed a particular crime or did something when they didn't actually do it. So like sometimes in certain countries when the police want to arrest someone, they'll plant drugs in someone's house. Did they ever do that in Croatia?
Probably.
When they don't like someone or a political enemy. Yeah. Actually, no, in Russia they do that. And so they arrest someone like that. So this Gopal Chapala was thinking, "Let me make it seem that Srivas Thakur is worshipping the goddess Durga." So he put the ingredients for worshipping Durga outside of Srivas Thakur's house. Srivas Thakur wakes up and he says, "All right, I'm worshipping Durga, you know, whatever." The pure devotees don't defend themselves. You know, I've seen that if someone criticizes you on the internet, don't write anything in defense. Mm-hmm. Just like whatever. Because if you write something, then it comes back worse the next time, and then you write something else, it comes back the next time. And these discussions go on forever and ever, whether it's blasphemy or even philosophical discussions. You know, Vitanda, Jalpa, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We're interested in Vada, which means we can have philosophical discussions to establish a particular philosophical point, not to defeat you. But nowadays it's mainly, we want to defeat our enemy. So, our philosophical enemy. So what happened is he, Srivastava Thakura didn't take it too seriously, but this Gopal Chapala actually developed leprosy within 3 days. And he approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on, and he said, Lord Chaitanya, you're the most munificent, savior of the most fallen. Please save me. And Lord Chaitanya said, I curse you to be bitten by the same worms, the leprosy worms, for millions of births. So, phew, Lord Chaitanya was really angry at him. So then later on, of course, he did apologize when Lord Chaitanya came back to Navadvipa. He did apologize to Srivastava Thakura, and then leprosy disappeared. But after some time, that happened. Another time, here's another story, so many interesting stories. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to test Srivastava Thakura's love for Lord Nityananda. And he said, why are you keeping this guy in your house? Nobody knows where he comes from. He's an avaduta, you know, just acts a little weird. And then Srivastava Thakura said, I will never be deterred from my service and love for Lord Nityananda, even if he marries a Muslim girl or goes into a liquor store. And Lord Chaitanya was very, very pleased with this. Sandy, we talked almost of the story. Another time is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting extreme ecstasy, Srivastava Thakura diagnosed it as a wind disorder due to pure love of Krishna. So anyway, so today is Srivastava Thakura's disappearance day. It's also the day many, many years ago, 1978, that I took the renounced order of life in Lima, Peru. And I'll mention a lot of this tonight during the initiation ceremony, because I want to encourage people to be renounced. that what happened is that Prabhupada left this planet in 1977, November of 1977. So when I came to the realization that Prabhupada was no longer physically with us, and actually that took some time. When Prabhupada left in 1977, I was in Los Angeles working for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, the Spanish Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. I had helped set up the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, the Spanish Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, and arranged for the publication and translation of Prabhupada's books in the Spanish language. So we received the news in the morning. And all the devotees, of course, were devastated and crying. And for days and days and days, the devotees were walking around in a daze. In other words, they didn't really know what had happened. So it took a while to realize that Prabhupada was no longer with us. And so when I realized that, then, of course, at that time, the devotees were reading from the fourth canto, part four of Srimad Bhagavatam, which details the story of Paranjana. You know that story. And Malaya Dwaja and all those other nice things. And you find the analogy there between the departure of the spiritual master and the departure of the queen's husband, right? And then you have this description about, in India they used to have this thing called the Sati Rite. And the sati rite means that when the husband would die, the wife would like jump in the fire. She couldn't bear to live without him. Of course, nowadays it's a little bit different. We're not in favor of that. Nowadays, they throw each other in the fire. But anyway. Anyway, wife will throw the husband, the wife. Anyways, it's Kali Yuga. So in other words, the wife, the chaste wife, couldn't bear to live without the husband. And of course, in the Vedic system, the ladies would live to take care of the children, like Kunti Devi. She took care of her five children, or her three children and the two of Madri. And Madri left with Pandu. So that analogy or comparison was given between the relationship that a disciple has with the spiritual master. The Prabhupada said in the purport, very heavy purports, that when the spiritual master leaves the planet, the disciple should be ready to leave the planet with the spiritual master. Unless the disciple is ready to carry out the mission of the spiritual master. See, there's that comparison. I guess with Kunti Devi and her five children and Madri and leaving with Pandu. So, this is a section of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we would read over and over and over again to console ourselves or to give us some direction after Prabhupada left. And so, when I heard this, I said, I have to do something to dedicate myself fully to the mission of Prabhupada, because previously, I mean, we were in touch with Prabhupada all the time. Everyone was in touch with Prabhupada all the time. Because any time anyone got a letter, we had this ISKCON grapevine. There was no email or, you know, Twitter or whatever you had nowadays. It was simply phone calls. Remember, phone. And a phone had a little dial on it. Not buttons. You know. Actually, when I was young, the phones had a crank on them. And then you get an operator.
Operator.
Can I connect you? And if you wanted to call long distance, you had to go through 10 operators. Okay, this is the operator in Chicago connecting you to Denver. This is the operator in Denver connecting you to Los Angeles. Anyway, it was really, things are not, and we even had telegrams, you know, that's SOS. Don't know. So we had telegrams. We actually, I was learning the Morse code too. And then I remember one time I was in Mayapur and I got a telegram, you know, from the Mayapur post office, written half in Bengali and half in English. Anyway, it was, but still, within an hour or two, whatever Prabhupada said was known all over the movement. It was amazing. It was known, you know, telephone, devotee, telegraph, you know. And so we were really dependent on Prabhupada. It's really, you know, how to describe what it was like. You know, Prabhupada would say something, devotees would immediately do it. One time Prabhupada said, devotees should only eat once a day and go on sankirtan the rest of the day. And that's what the devotees did, and they started to get sick, and Prabhupada said, no, I was just trying to counteract their nonsense. Anyway, get them out of sankirtan. So we went from that, you know, from 100 to zero in one day. I mean, it was very traumatic, extremely traumatic. And of course, now we're dealing sometimes with the disciples of our godbrothers, and it's like that with them too. It was just very traumatic. You don't expect it, because generally with the spiritual master, you think, oh, he's going to live. You know, you don't think of him departing the world. We never thought of that. Especially with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would sometimes get sick and get better. Oh, these are his pastimes. It was like that, you know. Get better. Okay, everybody pray, 24-hour kirtan. Good, he's back. And then Prabhupada was basically, with the devotees who were taking care of him, Bhakti Jiva Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and others, he was playing their emotions too in the final days, you know. He was saying, if you want, I can stay. And then he said, okay, I've decided to stay. And then, you know, it was really like an intense time for the devotees. So what happened is that after putting all these things together, I decided to take sannyas. And so I was put on the sannyas list during the next meeting in Mayapur, which is February or something like that, during February. And I was supposed to take sannyas a year later in 1979. So the question is, why did I take in 78? Well, we had an emergency in South America because Prabhupada said also that when the acharya leaves, so many rascals come out. And so this is really what we experienced. There were revolutions going on in South America. And, you know, two people who were sannyasis declared their independence from ISKCON because they didn't want the Americans involved in their movement anymore. Because there's a lot of, or was a lot, maybe still is a lot, of anti-American sentiment there. And previously, especially in Venezuela, you know, I was involved quite a bit, and also Rita Nadamaras was involved quite a bit. And they wanted, you know, their motto was Venezuela for the Venezolanos. That was Venezuela in Spanish. So they broke away, and we had so many breakaway things happening. So I went down to South America in order to counteract them. I had to take sannyas immediately. At this time in Lima, Peru. That's why I took it in 1978 instead of 1979. And I was actually one of the first devotees to take sannyas after Prabhupada left. So we took sannyas in Lima, Peru, and we basically worked to try to counteract these deviant groups. And still we have that problem. So anyway, so I took sannyas. My purpose, reason for taking sannyas was to declare my complete dedication to Prabhupada's mission and love for Prabhupada. So for me, that's what sannyas means. Not that I wanted people to offer obeisances or get the maha plate. You know, what's the joy of that? Of course, for some of you, that sounds pretty good. Because in the old days, when people took sannyas, every time there was an offering to the deities, they'd bring the whole plate through them. That was pretty cool, isn't it? Every time you hear, and then, you know, Radhakrishna deities, big maha plate. So many sannyasis gain weight at that particular point. But my purpose of taking sannyas was actually to just connect with Prabhupada, as was connection with Prabhupada, because my connection at that point was service. I could no longer be one of Prabhupada's groupies. You know, who, you know what a groupie is? You know, following Prabhupada. Oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. One time, myself and Rina Nanmars were with Prabhupada, and we were following him around, like groupies. We went to, one time, I flew to New York to see Prabhupada. I wasn't really like a groupie in the beginning days. Anyway, to see Prabhupada. Actually, the way I got to New York is I had no money. I was in Los Angeles. I called my father and told my father, I really want to see you, Dad. He saw me for about 2 seconds during the whole show. I was just really cruel, you know. You know, these fanatic Hare Krishna people, you know. Anyway, you know, I was worse than anybody. So anyway, so I flew, and it was just like, just to see Prabhupada, be with Prabhupada as many times as possible, you know, just even when Prabhupada was taking his massage, I would sneak and watch him through the window. You know, completely bad etiquette. One time I was watching through the window, he looks up. I fell off the window shield, the window slide. And then back in Los Angeles, being with Prabhupada, Prabhupada looks at us again and he says, don't you understand? You're not supposed to enjoy the spiritual master, you're supposed to serve the spiritual master. Then we all went off to preach. And then during that preaching excursion, we made one very nice devotee, Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj, became a devotee. Wow. He was only 16 years old. We kidnapped him. There's a whole story about that. I mean, nowadays, it's a I wouldn't get arrested. If I did it now, I'd get arrested, but it's too late. So what happened is he was being cared for by somebody who was assigned by his parents, and he just wanted to join us. And so we put him in the car, and his person who was caring for him stood in front of the car, that lady. And I was driving the Frida Nandamars, and he said, just push the gas pedal down, you know, accelerate. I said, what? We didn't want to run this lady over? He said, no, just gently. That's how fanatic, you know. So I know what fanaticism is, you know. I've been there, done it, seen it. You know, so when I walk into the Ljubljana temple, I know. You know, I'm not just an innocent, like, New Agey guy. And so we push her out of the way. She goes, ah! Didn't hurt her. And so he says, okay. We say, we drive out of state using the side roads. Don't go to the interstate so that they can't catch us. You know, because in the States, whatever. So we drove out of state, and eventually gets shipped to India, and he's an Indian now, so of course.
Still hiding.
No, he's an old person.
From the Child Protective Service.
No, we didn't abuse him. He wanted to come. He was just like, ready. That happened in a place called Eugene, Oregon. Mm. And anyway, so many funny things that I did. But, you know, we were very accustomed just to, when can we see Prabhupada in a morning walk? Want to go on a morning walk with Prabhupada, eating the remnants of Prabhupada. And I mentioned the other day I would eat even the grape stems and the orange rinds and everything like that. And then just like fanatic, groupie. So when Prabhupada left, it was a shock because we couldn't do that anymore. Even going to programs with Prabhupada in India. I mean, so many nice memories sitting in Prabhupada's room in Srinath Mayapur, Darshan. This is amazing. Anyway, so my sannyas is a declaration of, let's say, loyalty and connection to Prabhupada. That's what it means to me. Otherwise, it has no meaning. And, you know, for preaching Krishna consciousness and eating prasadam, and having a lot of people serve me. I never wanted people to serve me. It's nothing. I just like serving myself. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes?
Gurudev, have you ever thought about writing a book about those days?
There's a biography that has been written already about my life. It's called Gone with the Wind. Now, there's a biography of one very nice devotee has written a biography of me. She's actually a professional writer. She's from Europe, actually. Govinda Lilamrita. You know Govinda Lilamrita. She's written a biography. Big biography about me and my nonsense. Me and my pet dog. Has anyone read it? You haven't read it.
It's published?
Is it published? No. Uh-huh. And I don't want it to be. Anyway, it's not so exciting. You know, I tell the devotees, you know, if you really want to read an exciting biography, read Journey Home. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll make you Christian. God, you read my biography, you know, it's just like, he chanted Hare Krishna, rolled on the ground in ecstasy, and became a devotee. And that's it. It's not exciting. I was never attacked by dogs. I wish it was. But that's in Fiji. But, you know, there's nothing exciting. I never saw yogis floating in the air. So, anyway. So, any other questions? Actually, it's late. Oh my God. Oh, no other questions? So we can end in class and we can have an initiation today. Hey, Bruce will take a sannyas. I asked him, I said the other day, did you ever bring your wife flowers? No. And then I gave you some flowers, I said, bring it.
That day she was, oh, I appreciate you brought me flowers. Is that
your
idea?
Did you actually say that? Disciple to bring flowers to his wife.
In Kali Yuga, sannyasis had to teach priests to have loving
relationships. Okay, so I guess that's it. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srivas Thakur Ki Jai.
Jai.
Tirubhava. Tirubhava means a disappearance day.
Okay, what